Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Now, let's turn to horse racing. Two more horses died at the Santa Anita racetrack over the weekend. That brings the total to 29 at that track in the last 6 months. The California Horse Racing Board says racing should be suspended for the rest of the current season. That ends June 23rd. But Santa Anita's management is resisting. Can they do that? Yes. Several of the horses that died this year were euthanized after suffering catastrophic injuries on top of old injuries. The deaths put horse racing under a spotlight during the Triple Crown season, which ended with Sir Winston's victory in the Belmont Saturday. Let's bring in Joe Drape. Joe, there have been many more than 29 horses who've died across the country. You cover horse racing for the New York Times. The racing seems insignificant at this point. Who won what? Would you agree?
It's very insignificant, Robin. Yeah. In fact, this Triple Crown season should just be thrown out. And it's unfair to the owners and horses and trainers of the ones that won. But what's dominating any talk of horse racing are these dead horses out in Santa Anita. And they've been commanding the spotlight now since December 26. And it's really got the sport to the tipping point. People are talking about should horse racing even exist. And they have a right to.
Well, and there are people doing more than talking about it. They're trying to get it, I think, as a referendum in California. And as you remind us, nearly 10 horses a week on average died at American racetracks in 2018. So while it's horrendous at Santa Anita, 10 horses a week on average across the country. So talk a little bit about, first, why there's a horse racing board in California and they can't just tell Santa Anita to shut down.
Well, that's part of the inherent problem of horse racing. It's a patchwork deal. The regulators in California is the California Horse Racing Board. But in all government, there's a bureaucracy. Now, they can't shut them down after 10 days with the public notice. That's according to the regulations. But, you know, that will get them a little bit past their due date or how much they go. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a really bold move by not only the Stronach Group, who owns Santa Anita, but the owners and horsemen and trainers out there. They are arguing two things, that there's a practical reason. We've got to have some place for these horses to train, about 1,800 of them out there. The other reason is sort of the aspirational. Believe it or not, since they put some very meaningful reforms out there on drugs, basically the safety and welfare of horses, the rates have come down. But, you know, once you get to 20-something, cut it by 50%, that's just still too many.
You mentioned the Stronach Group. They own Santa Anita. They did announce a ban in March on the use of whips and medication on racing day. But talk about the divide in sports. You write, on one side, horse breeders, owners who back a federal bill to create a uniform national standard for drug testing and medication rules. It could be overseen by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency. On the other, horse trainers, racetrack owners who find this too expensive and intrusive.
Yeah, and it's a lot like society, the 1% versus everybody else. It's a $15 billion business. The breeders, mainly Kentucky-based, and owners, they know that the sport is in peril right now, and they want it cleaned up quickly. They want less racing. They want more oversight. But, you know, people own tracks, hundreds of them out there. States regulate them. There's a lot of tax money in there. They want those streams to continue. The guys who own and train horses, the little guys, that's how they make their living. They need a place to race. So, you know, you got a big divide between the rich and the poor. The drug thing is the little guys say, hey, this is how we keep our horses healthy, and this is how we afford to keep showing up for the races, to keep the revenue stream going in the tracking business. So, you know, there's a very fundamental difference here that needs to be overcome.
And just to be clear here, again, we talked about banning whips on race days and banning certain medications, and you just saying that some owners are saying, hey, these medications are what's keeping the revenue stream going. Do you ever see a time, Joe, when horse racing might be just stripped of all the medications, all the whips? Maybe just some, you know, mild medications to help a horse overcome a small injury. And it just gets complete. You do see that.
Yes. And it could happen. This is the frustrating thing for people. It could happen next week. It's that easy to do. People have been talking about this for 50 years. In Europe and the rest of the world, they have these rules. All they're asking is, say, American horsemen to do is to match the standards overseas. And overseas, their death rate is 2.5 to 5 times less than ours. Mm. So this can be fixed. And I think anybody who's been around it a long time kind of wants to pull their hair out right now, because this is something that can be done quickly and effectively. And once more, and I say once more because I have congressional testimony on these issues from 1980. I've been to 3 congressional hearings on this stuff over the last 20 years. This could be fixed, but nobody seems to have the fortitude and the will to do it.
Joe Drape, who covers horse racing for the New York Times. Joe, thank you.
Robin, thanks for having me.